ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 15, Canto 5, Chapter 13. Mamasvino nirjata diggajendra Mameti sarve bhuvi badhavairaha Mrde shariran natutad vrajanti Yan yasta dando gata vairo bhiyati Manasvino nirjata dig gajendra Mameti sarve bhuvi baddha vairaha Mrde shariyan natutad vrajanti Nanyasta dando gata vairo bhiyati Manasvinaha Very great heroes, mental speculators. Nirjata dik gajendraha, those who have conquered many other heroes, as powerful as elephants. Mama, my land, my country, my family, my community, my religion. Iti, thus, sarve, all great political, social, and religious leaders. Bhuvi, in this world, Vadha Vairaha, who have created enmity among themselves. Mrde, in battle. Shayiran, fall dead on the ground. Na, not. Tu, but. Tat, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrajanti, approach. Yat, which. Nyastadandaha, a sannyasi. Gattavairaha, who has no enmity throughout the whole world. Abhiyati attains that perfection. Translation. There were and are many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of great power, of equal power. Yet, due to their ignorance and believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Big political leaders might be able to conquer equally powerful political enemies, but unfortunately, they cannot subdue their strong senses, the enemies that always accompany them. Not being able to conquer these nearby enemies, they simply try to conquer other enemies, and ultimately they die in the struggle for existence. They do not take the path of spiritual realization or become sannyasis. Sometimes these big political leaders take up a guise of a sannyasi and call themselves mahatmas. Guess who he's referring to? But their only business is conquering their political enemies, because they spoil their lives with the illusion of, quote, this is my land and my family. They cannot progress spiritually and attain liberation from the clutches of Maya. So the verse again, Manasvino Nirjita Digajendra Mameti Sarve Bhuvi Badhavairaha Rade Shayan Shariran Natutad Vrajanti Nyan Nyastadando Gatavairo Biyati. There were in our many political and social heroes who have conquered enemies of equal power, yet due to their ignorance in believing that the land is theirs, they fight one another and lay down their lives in battle. They are not able to take up the spiritual path accepted by those in the renounced order. Although they are big heroes and political leaders, they cannot take to the path of spiritual realization. So this verse is very appropriately just extending the message from the previous verse and verses. The forest of material existence. The previous two verses were speaking about attachment to money and attachment to family. And with attachment to family then comes this extended sense. The body is this self, the family is mine, and the land is mine, the community is mine, the nation is mine. The phrase that's in the verse is, where is it? First word in the second line, mameti. Mama, iti. Iti is thus, and mama. It means mine, but Prabhupada has expanded it. My land, my country, my family, my community, my religion. We call these things upadis, another term, that which one identifies as my group, or that which, my group, that which I belong to, this body belongs to, because of being born in a certain family, I have a certain religion, this body, because I was born in a certain nation, I have that, I'm that nationality. And I have the affinity for those things. Like we discussed yesterday, this identification, well, two things. The identification of body as the self leads to the identification of mama. Commonly these two go together. Aham mama. Aham mameti. Me presents this term in the second canto, where he's describing the process of creation, and as the creation expands and the living entities are injected into the field of the material energy, they're enveloped, first of all, in false ego and other layers, other coverings. The phrase in this verse, this is 2:5:13. Mama aham. So commonly, aham mameti, because that's how Prabhupada speaks about it in his purports, commonly. Aham mameti. So the verse reads, the illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position, but those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of it is I and it is mine. When I'm trying to remember the Sanskrit for the verse. When Vyasadeva follows the instructions of Narada, first canto, chapter 7, the beginning part, to fix his mind upon the personality of Godhead, he does so. And the realization he has is he sees the Supreme Lord with the feature of Maya, or the personification of Maya, behind him. Now normally we don't see Maya behind him, we just see Maya. And because Maya is obfuscating our vision of the Lord, we just see Maya. We just see the illusory energy, and the bewildering influence of the illusory energy upon the living entity prevents them from seeing what's behind the illusory energy. The ultimate cause of all causes. Thus bewildered, one thinks in terms of I and mine. And the process that Vyas is presenting in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explicit. He was given the instruction by Narada because he was wondering, why am I feeling insufficient? Why am I feeling uncomfortable? Why am I feeling ill at ease? I've just compiled all the Vedas. I'm feeling dissatisfied. Why is that? The answer given is because you've not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Lord. And the remedy is twofold. First, fix your mind completely, absolutely completely upon the personality of Godhead in meditation. And then the second is that which you realize from that meditation, you describe in one literature. That's just that. Doesn't give the other how to enjoy the material world in religious ways. Not that. Just what you experience in your trance of meditation. So that's what he's done. So in his trance of meditation, he saw the Supreme Lord with Maya on the backside or under his control behind him. So in the second canto and then here in the fifth canto and so many other places, he's describing that same thing in different ways. So this is Jad Bharat describing it to Rahugana. That's the historical context, but the principle is the same principle. Those who are attached to the conception of mine, they may, in the minds of ordinary people, consider to be great heroes. Great heroes. Winston Prabhupada would sometimes name the great heroes. This one, that one, the other one. But where are they now? And where are the followers of those great heroes? And, you know, the illusory energy manifests something, and the illusory energy takes away that same something and is gone. Great heroes. So in the sense of worldly men, worldly people, greatness may be measured by some of these items that he's mentioning. Political prowess to overcome their powerful enemies, or a social reformer that accomplished many wonderful things, or he's specifically even speaking of mental speculators that outdid previous mental speculators. They were a great hero. They did combat with a mental speculator and outdid them. So, and etc., different fields of social, political, even intellectual accomplishments in the mind of people of this world, they're considered great heroes, great personalities, and we celebrate them. Or people of this world celebrate them. And the lamentation of Maharaj, of Jed Bharat to Maharaj Rudhugana is, unfortunately, they don't take to the path of self-realization, which would tell them, my country, my nation, my family, my group, the whole substructure under false ego, is a burden. It carries one away from self-realization. It's limiting, it's not freeing. The Bhagavatam is interesting. It's not catering to political correctness by any means. Just thinking of the recent 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's march in Washington, and boy, did it get media coverage, and, you know, a lot of people tooting their horns and so forth. And from a worldly perspective, certainly what he accomplished was wonderful. The oppression of people of a certain color of skin being treated in such an abominable way by persons who had a different color of skin, thinking, you know, white supremacy. And the whole history, you know, without, you know, the recitation of the history. The abolishment of slavery, and it was a war over abolishment of slavery, and those on the side of abolishing of slavery are great heroes, and all of those things. It's occupying, isn't it? It's occupying the Nelson Mandela and what he accomplished and what he had to endure, etc. Martin Luther King, and so, you know, for that he was killed, and on, you know, the strife of this world to bring basic decency and human liberty these are great heroes. And in the world, it's a major event. It's major honorific presentations to these people who brought darkness into more light or something like that, you know. These civil liberties. And history is filled with such things. These are modern, but history is filled with such things. People who reformed the bad conduct of bad people. I can't remember if it was Jitendriya, you will know. Hey, Jitendriya. Wow, he's out. Do you recall Prabhupada speaking something about Joseph Stalin as being the cruelest person in history? Huh? Prabhupada said, you know, like, okay. Millions upon millions. I don't know how it happened, but some reference, and I read his, like, a mini biography. And what a vicious person. And recently, recently while I was in China, there was some side discussion after one program about something that's just not talked about in Chinese history, but there was a drought and thus a famine after, you know, the People's Republic and, you know, the revolution in China. There was a famine, and so just to build the power of China and rescue the cities and industrialization of China, there was a demand that the people that were farmers supply X. So they supplied X, and many of, you know, millions and millions starved. So somebody's going to starve, and so, but the part that's not talked about is the man who is the favorite of the peasants brought industrialization into a position of strength at the sacrifice of millions and millions of Chinese people. And Stalin, same, you know, Bolshevik, without all the detail. It's just merciless. And on and on. It's on and on and on and on. And on and on and on. Such persons, the verse is saying, such persons are considered maybe, you know, worthy of praise. In one sense, Stalin brought Russia, this little biography described, he brought Russia from an agricultural country of no importance to a major world power. You know, yay. You know, but at what cost? And what to speak of, so that's like, you know, the good and the bad. But the message of the Bhagavatam is not saying yay or boo. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of the precious human form of life. That such involvement obscures the real interest of the soul, even the identity of the soul, or to speak of the real interest of the soul. So these two things, aham and mama, misplaced, are very dangerous. And it's going on. Recently I was hearing, it was a morning walk conversation in Juhu, where Prabhupada was speaking with Dr. Patel, and Dr. Patel took interesting positions, sometimes the position of a Mayavadi, and because he had read, he was a professor and read so many books and was a spiritual man, and so naturally he read Mayavadi books because they're abundant. And he was arguing with Prabhupada on Mayavad positions. Prabhupada became very animated and over a period of time smashed him. And but some other times he would advocate, philanthropy and altruism as like the platform that he felt. And, you know, he would make these statements. I don't care if, you know, people don't like it, that I'm going to do this. I don't care if spiritualists think it's, you know, unworthy of one's human energy. I'm going to do it because we can't just stand by and let these other things, bad things happen. Then Prabhupada began describing, supposing one does serve those persons, supposing one takes the position of serving, to start with family and serving family, is there ever any point in time when they say, I'm satisfied? Vaisheshika Prabhu made the same point during when he was speaking. There's never a point of satisfaction. It's like recently while in Milwaukee, there was some discussions about duties of a householder and that kind of thing. And some questions about where to draw the line about taking care of, being charitable, but taking care of family and the children's education and then emergency. And it seems like there's no end to it. There's never a point where, okay, that's taken care of. Now do something else. It's always ever demanding. The nature of aham mameti it'll keep you tirelessly busy forever, not just this life, but forever. So that there's literally no time for self-realization. No time because one's attention has gone in the wrong direction. And it's easy to fall into that trap. What to speak of persons who are devoid of atma-tattva, that's their whole existence. And it's exhausting. And at the end of their lives, they're tired. They're beaten. Devotees can also become enamored by, you know, in the beginning, attracted by spiritual principle and act on spiritual principle. But if there's not sufficient attentiveness or if there's negligence, in Bhaktisiddhanta's language, lack of or slackening in submission, then material interest can creep in and just take over. And then Krishna consciousness is lost, but the, you know, life goes on. And so the worldly interests may prevail over transcendental interests. I'm not speaking this way because I sense that's what's happening in our local situation here. I'm speaking about it rather just in terms of, or more specifically in terms of being vigilant as we go on in our Krishna conscious lives, individually and collectively, be attentive. Don't be slack or complacent. Be attentive to not bringing in increasing material involvement, privrity, and while we're practicing a process of nivritti, gradually diminishing one's material involvement, specifically seeking happiness in objects. Let's put it this way. Practical for a situation like a temple that's prospering and doing well. So then there's more stuff. At least the resource is there for more stuff. And so just like get more stuff. because now we have the resource to get more stuff, and then lose the spirit of what the purpose of the stuff is, and become the enjoyer of the stuff. We should always be vigilant, individually, collectively. The tendency is very strong. We've been involved in Ahama Meti program for countless lifetimes, and living entities struggling very hard in material existence. It's not a new program. It's one we're very familiar with. Conditioning is very strong. Just last night, two different persons were coming after the class at someone's home, saying same thing. You know, like, I'm trying for 3 years. I've been coming to Bhakti Vriksha gatherings, and I feel that I'm sincere, but there are moments when there's this wave of doubt and losing my balance, and, you know, why is that happening? That's long material involvement, prolonged involvement in the material energy. We're very conditioned. Such tendencies are residually there. So the protection against such tendencies ultimately is depending upon Krishna. Krishna speaks like that in the Chatrasloki verses, that he personally sees to the eradication of those tendencies. He personally sees to the eradication of those tendencies for one who stays fixed in the mood of devotion. So that's our assignment. Stay fixed in the mood of devotion. Which means, with injunction, there's prohibition. Be vigilant about slackening in clarity in the purpose of our Krishna conscious lives. So I'm not saying this to be, like, be scary or something. It's just, there's a phrase, a word to the wise ought to be sufficient. We need to be careful. We're in a very contaminated, toxic place. So we have to be careful. Material world, Kali Yuga, it's dangerous. So as we're proceeding in our Krishna conscious lives, stay on your toes. Be attentive to the principles. Because otherwise, Mamasvina, very great heroes. There may be some interest to be appreciated by other people. I mean, maybe not like a great hero kind of appreciated, but appreciated by other people. We want respect. We want recognition. We want, you know, some of that. At least some of that. As human, I want some of that. And if it doesn't come, we're disturbed, and we start pursuing it more than we were before, and it happens very easily, too easily. So be vigilant. And one other thing I'd like to comment in the Sanskrit, the last part of the second line, and nearly the last part of the fourth line. There are these terms, vadha, vaira, and gata, vairo. With this vairo because of the next syllable. So, gata, vaira, and vadha, vaira. Vadha, vaira is those who have created enmity among themselves, and gata, vaira is one who has no enmity throughout the whole world. If you wanted to pick one of those two, which one would you pick? That's easy. No enmity throughout the world. What does one have to do to get to that position? One has to give up the I and mine conception. I don't know about giving up the I and mine conception. It's my favorite. Very dear to me. I mean, I and mine? I have to give that up? I'd like to have no enmity in the world and keep I and mine. Not possible. I and mine leads to this other. And so just be a quiet I and mine person. Not a big hero I and mine person, because then I'll have to do battles with other people. I'll just be a little I and mine person. Live peacefully I and mine. You can't live peacefully. it's the nature of the place. Because even you're doing it quietly, there's something that you consider mine and someone transgresses mine. And then you're disturbed. You may be quietly disturbed because you want to be quiet, but you're quiet, you're disturbed. There's no solution other than shelter in the spiritual conception, and with that spiritual conception of self, the spiritual conception of the Supreme Self. Is that as our shelter rather than the I and mind principle? It's a choice we need to make. And if we're going to go the direction of shelter of the Supreme, there's lots of freedom in that realm, but we have to let go of the I and mind conception. Can't keep holding on to it. Can't keep holding on to it. So we have a process of devotional service that's assisting us in getting freed from that, including reading what we're reading just this morning. And then there's the application of the principle as we leave the temple room and go about our service day by day. There needs to be an act of cultivation of acting in devotion to Krishna rather than acting in response to I and mind consciousness. Cultivation is required. Same as with chanting. With chanting, there's make the sound. We engage people in, like this thing that you were doing on Janmashtami Day, getting everybody to say the Maha Mantra. And it got to be the point where they were waiting until the next time you were going to do it. It was like fun. But it's a whole other thing that where one's consciousness is absorbed in, there's the beginning stage, and then there's something that we need to do beyond the beginning stage, which is bring our consciousness to the holy name. The brahminical work of bring your consciousness to Krishna in the form of his holy name or in the form of a deity, not just, you know, the details and details, but it's the devotion. And the offering is part of the expression of that devotion. That's the entering into the realm of bhakti. The vidhis of devotion take us into the feelings of devotion if we do them properly. And I in mind is an anchor. It's keeping us attached and in enmity with others. It's a nice principle to speak about. It's a nice principle to live. It's a difficult principle to work our way through. But that's our assignment. Any discussion? Yes. Nityananda Prabhu.
Guru Maharaj, in any circumstance or service, how does one recognize that one is struggling with the iron mine problem, other than that it's a given that it's there?
Other than?
It's a given that everyone in the conditioned world has it. But specifically that it is acting up, how does one recognize?
There's lots of things. One of them is forgetting Krishna. He who is my real shelter and real happiness, that remembrance of Krishna becomes weakened or obscured. And in its place of feeling Krishna's shelter is a struggle. Duratyaya, struggling hard with the circumstance of life to get something or whatever it is. Go the other direction, and it will help understand the eye and mind situation. The other direction is, I'm feeling shelter and protected and happy, and the circumstances can be this or that. That's fine. The essence or spirit of what I'm doing is my service and feeling happiness and protection and shelter in my service. Krishna is with me. And I'm with Krishna. I and mine takes that away. Then it's, you know, a struggle. Within the verse, there's some other indications. The sense of groupism gets stronger. Whatever group identity, my family, my country, my group, that there are people that are like me and there are people that aren't like me, so friends and enemies, group friends and group enemies. Which is in the purport, the opposite is where there's no enmity towards anyone. Now, the position where there's no enmity towards anyone doesn't mean duality isn't going on, meaning some persons may see, in a favorable way, some other persons may see in an unfavorable way, and that's going to go on. But not identifying in terms of those who see me favorably and those who see me unfavorably. Those are some symptoms. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, due to their attachment...
Due to their attachment?
When we see devotees do not completely surrender to Guru and Krishna.
Devotees who do not completely surrender to...
Guru and Krishna.
That's everybody.
How we can prevent ourselves from forming a mental block towards them?
Don't just think that it's other people and I'm the one that's not like them. That's a start. That's a good start.
Especially when we have to seek advice from them.
Make your own house clean. Make your own heart clean first. And Krishna will protect you. Krishna will protect you. Jitendra.
I remember seeing this verse, and I always thought it was really
on topic.
Yeah, it says that political leaders will rise to the top if they're expert at speech. And I was thinking of Adolf Hitler, and he really rallied his troops. He took speech therapy, but there was this one poem that went, "We were the unfortunate." Led by the unqualified to do the unnecessary for the ungrateful. I thought that was kind of, you know, relative to this.
That's a slogan from somewhere? It's not in the Bhagavatam. You're not reading that from a Bhagavatam purport, are you?
No, it's not in here.
Okay.
I read it at the Vietnam Memorial Museum.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
One of those 60s things.
Yeah, when there's the role of a leader is a very important role, and going back to Srinath's question, being a leader isn't easy. Being a qualified leader is very challenging. And then what about people that are, you know, seeking advice from a leader that's less than fully qualified? What do we do?
Misleaders.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's his question. How do we process that situation? But we could just, like, go AWOL. Just go independent and, you know, do our own thing. Because the other people are less than perfect. So why have anything to do with people that are less than perfect? There's trust in Krishna and the process of devotional service that Krishna has given us, the primary means of purification and structures for carrying forward in the association of devotees. You know, cut oneself free from the association of devotees, even if it's just in my mind, and one is going to be broken. Snap. Fast. Not slow. That one's fast. So, back to the slogan, we're obliged. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction. Because it's one of those things about religions that worries people that are in government. That religious people may just become like fanatics and just completely reject any consideration of government. Just do their religious thing without any acknowledgement. No, it should be pacifying for government people to read Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. In relation to the Gopinath Patanayak story, that, you know, Gopinath should be punished. He's taking money on behalf of the king and squandering it for sense gratification instead of giving it to the king. What's king going to do with it? You know, maybe he'll squander it for sense gratification. But, you know, the Christian model is render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. So we're advised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we comply with the laws of the state. We're not rebellious because, oh, they're imperfect, we're not gonna pay our taxes. Or we're gonna do what we wanna do. We just scofflaw. We don't care about imperfect people. And that's, you know, that's not the advice that we are given. The advice that we're given is, you live according to the laws of the land wherever you are. You live lawfully and honestly, and cultivate Krishna consciousness. And if depending upon one's capacity and strength, you teach the message of Bhagavatam, or distribute the message of the Bhagavatam, or live the message of the Bhagavatam and bring light into the situation. Make a soft revolution.
Whatever great men do, common men follow, and all the world pursues.
Yeah, like that. So anything else? Yes. Here's the microphone.
Thank you for our class.
Yeah, I heard that part. Yeah.
When I'm doing service, what I find is I get thinking a lot about the behaviors, the actions that I'm doing. And my Krishna consciousness is becoming going in the background.
Uh-oh.
And
then what happens?
Then
you suffer. That's it, right?
Pardon?
You suffer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
then a light goes on that says, hey, I'm suffering. That must be I'm doing something wrong.
Exactly.
Maybe I better get back to my Krishna consciousness. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, wait, go ahead with your question.
Yes, yeah, so I'm that's what I'm looking at, is how to not get so caught up in the behavior.
Hear and chant nicely. It'll fix you. It's the spiritual conception. Chant the holy name very nicely. You can't do anything better than that. And in a broader sense, the part of your day that's hearing and chanting and worshiping, do that really carefully. And that will give you the strength in the course of the day to stay, you know, situated in your Krishna consciousness, not just in the, your gut, you don't seem satisfied. You got a yeah, but.
It frustrates me when I put myself there.
Well, also to get beyond the frustration and do the right thing. Yeah, but I just keep doing it over again. Okay, just get up and do it right. And you get knocked down, right, oh, look at it, I fell down again. Get up and do it right. However many times that takes. Just keep doing that. However many times it takes. With faith. But you know the example from Nectar Devotion that a child has walking propensity. Just practice and walking propensity comes out. How many times might a child, you know, tumble as they're developing their walking propensity? But at some point in time, however many times they tumble, the walking propensity comes out. So that's what we should do. Continue. Get up. Get your bearings. Go forward with Krishna consciousness. Armed with yoga, armed with knowledge, stand and fight. Get up. Krishna will help you. It's not like you're discarded because you made a boo-boo again. Krishna will be there. Just think of Krishna and move in the proper way. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
How do we guard against the mamameti?
About the what?
Mamameti. Guard against that in terms of even seeming spiritual things like our temple or this society or this sampradaya. Sometimes traditions get a lot too much involved in that. How do we protect ourselves in that application?
We're under Krishna's shelter. And thinking in those terms, that's not false. Krishna is unlimited. How big are Krishna's feet? What size shoes does he have? Krishna's feet are unlimited. So under Krishna's feet there may be so many. But we may be at Krishna's feet in this way. And like, once Prabhupada was asked something like, is there any place for pride in Krishna consciousness? Something like that. And his reply was to be proud that you're Krishna's devotee, that Krishna has accepted you as his devotee. Of course, it's good fortune, not the material kind of pride, but pride in, I have an opportunity to serve Krishna, the spiritual kind. And that's good. It's not the other kind. I'm a servant of Krishna, and you're not, not that kind. There's a place for that, for identification with. It's not material. And then, you know, it comes to this other question that how do we know, what are the symptoms when the material kind is entering? Us and them. It's, you know, Krishna. And Krishna's got big feet. He can accommodate all types of those who take shelter of him. And we're happy when we see people take shelter of him. And we wish to help other people take shelter of him if they're not taking shelter of him. It's not a, you know, us and them groupism. It's Krishna. Okay, I'm going to end. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.